everyone. My name is Belinda Granger, and I'm the professional liaison for Challenge Family. I'm also known throughout the triathlon world as being a bit of a mother hen to the pro athletes. Of course, given the current circumstances, I've been thinking about the athletes a lot lately. So we came up with the idea of Coffee Calls with Belinda, which basically gives me and you an opportunity to check in with them all and see how they're all going. So welcome to the official Challenge Family podcast. I think it's time for a coffee. And welcome back to Coffee Calls with Belinda. I am here today, or I should say tonight, with two of my very special friends, my best friends, and today's guests. It's Luke and Beth McKenzie. Welcome, guys. Thank you. Now, let's just explain, before I get you to say anything, let's just explain, you are actually here tonight having dinner at my house, which is really cool. The first time ever I've done this. It is allowed, so a little bit different this time.
Yeah, we're here, Shea Granger, and you just poured us a glass of wine, so cheers.
Cheers. Cheers, everyone.
Cheers.
Thank you.
It's a Friday evening. Luke and I have a date night. Our kids are with the grandparents, so we're here to have a little chat with you. And more importantly, dinner.
Date night with Belinda.
Date night with the Grangers. No, so yeah, obviously normally our podcast is done during the day, hence why we call it Coffee Calls with Belinda. But this one is a little different, and I must say, more to my liking, to have you guys over. Obviously, we are allowed to do that now here in Australia. Our restrictions have been lifted, and we are allowed to have two people over. So, of course, couldn't wait to have you two over for dinner. We were lucky enough to go to your place for dinner last Friday night, so I feel like we're now returning the favour. And, of course, while we're at it, I thought I'd get you to do a little talk with me.
Perfect.
Sounds good, and there's wine involved, so I really like it.
Yeah, Luke's in. That's right. Now, before we start, obviously it's been a crazy year so far. Beth, we celebrated your 40th birthday, which seems like a lifetime ago now, back in February. Down in Adelaide, where we went to McLaren Vale, where we watched the tour down under. Of course, that was just an excuse to drink good wine. How have you guys been since then? Does that feel like it was a lifetime ago?
Oh, man. I think one thing that can explain that is that I just saw one of those memes today, and it said, can you believe that just a few months ago when someone had a birthday, we would blow, I don't remember the words, but like blow all over a cake and then everybody would eat it, you know? At birthday to you, nobody would ever do that now, you know?
No blowing candles.
It does seem like a lifetime ago.
You snuck one in there right before that.
I did. We're also glad we made that trip, I think, because it was probably the last bit of travel for fun for a while.
Absolutely,
you know?
It was the last time. I mean, obviously here in Australia, domestic travel is happening, but not allowed. Not for pleasure. The borders are still closed, and certainly international travel is not looking likely for the oh-so-distant future. So getting back to training, obviously we did a little training down there, let's be honest, but that was more for pleasure.
We did
quite a bit of training. It was good. Enough to justify the wines at night, that's for sure. But your plans, you had the most cracking year planned. I think of any professional athletes that I'd spoken to for this year, you guys had it down to perfection. It obviously was going to be your last hurrah as far as professional racing goes. You'd planned a fantastic trip to Europe, Challenge Roth, a couple of other races over there while you're in Europe. Family was going over, you, your two beautiful girls, Luke, your mum and dad. And then this happened. So
yeah.
How are you coping with that right now?
We definitely had a whopper of a year planned. Luke, can you...
I love the Aussie whopper. It's really the Aussie, whopper. Aussie lingo, the whopper.
All right, give them the play-by-play of how it was going to play out from March to August.
Yeah, it was a big one. Well, we just missed the trip. We were supposed to go to California for a month in April, which would have been great to go home for Beth, you know, to California, go to Oceanside and Texas and just check in on the business there in California. And so we've just missed that trip. And we were supposed to be just in Port Macquarie for an Ironman. That's been cancelled. But then the real big one that we're both really looking forward to was the trip around the world, which was something that I feel bad for Beth because she literally spent hours, I mean, maybe even days, putting together.
Weeks.
Weeks.
The itinerary of a lifetime.
Literally weeks put into the planning of this trip and many, many calls to Qantas to to, you know, use frequent flyer points and just to make all this work. And you know, obviously we had my parents coming, so we had to organize travel in and around them. And then there was weddings in America as well to build into the... So it was just such an elaborate plan for the year. And, you know, it started off with going to Girona in Spain to train there and lead into Challenge Roth. We had Challenge Gerardsbergen on the schedule, Challenge Roth. And Roth was supposed to be the last hurrah. It was going to be our last professional race, and we were going to do it together. And what better place to do it than the biggest, best triathlon in the world in Roth. And so, it is so sad because it is such a great race, and it would have been great for both of us to do it together. But, and then we were going to enjoy the rest of the trip and go on to California, to Prague, somewhere I'd never been before. Beth's been there before, but I really would have loved to have gone there. And then we were going to go on to the States and check in on the business again and go to Beth's sister's wedding, which, you know, was going to make it, you know, a really great finale to the trip, and then back home to Australia. And unfortunately, things happened, and
2020.
Now we're stuck on a big island in the middle of the Pacific Ocean.
It's not a bad place to be.
It's not. And Beth, is your sister still planning to get married?
So my family's always been super practical, and she made the call pretty early. I'd say early April. The wedding wasn't even supposed to be until August, but she said, "You know what? Like, we're going to cancel it for now, and then just have it later," because she didn't want the wedding, even if people were allowed to travel at that point, she didn't want it to be all about coronavirus, you know? So might as well just wait until it's about normal things again, life and love.
So there is a chance you'll still get to that wedding then?
Not this year.
No.
I think they're planning on same time next year, which is totally fine.
Okay.
No big deal, but yeah.
So mentally, how have you now changed your plans? Because obviously you've just told me about an amazing year of racing and traveling the world, which is why we love triathlon, even as professional athletes yourselves. I mean, one of the main reasons I think all of us get into that sport is because it gives us an opportunity to travel the world and to find new and amazing places that we otherwise might never have seen. So what do you, obviously you know you're now here in Noosa for the foreseeable future. How have you changed your mental state with training? Like, are you still training? Of course, I know the answer with Beth, because I still train with you.
For me, at first, I thought, okay, I'm going to go into maintenance mode, which is still a decent amount of training, just nothing really race specific. And I thought, oh, I'm just going to do this till we figure out what's going to happen. Because in triathlon, if you're going to train really hard and professionally, you need some kind of a goalpost. You can't train super hard
Potentially nothing.
Yeah.
For no outcome. Yeah.
So after a few weeks of stuff, you know, everything was happening all day by day too. You didn't know.
No.
What was going to happen? And so Ironman put a couple of races back on the board, and that wasn't what I really wanted to do. Like, we were like, in my head, I was like, European vacation, Challenge Roth, the biggest race ever. But I'm good at switching and pivoting. And I thought, okay, Ironman's put Ironman St. George on in September. And that was my very first Ironman in 2010.
Okay.
So I thought, oh, one decade later, it can be my last.
Which is a pretty good thing too. Okay.
That's good enough. But, you know, sub-9 goals would go out the window there because it's not the easiest course. But so I set my sights on that, and I was pretty focused for the first few weeks. And then as things started to evolve in the U.S. and things became, let's be honest, a little bit more of a shit show over there, you're like, I don't even think that's going to happen. And maybe it'll happen, but at that point, I'm not even sure if coming from Australia, they would let us back into Australia if we made a trip over there without some sort of serious quarantine or something. Like, I just, right now, I'm sure it's hard for everyone to say, but I don't think that international travel is going to be what we are used to being for at least a year. So once I got that idea and put it in my back pocket, I thought, okay, poor me, you know, but I'm trying to stay motivated. But honestly, right now I'm trying to figure out, how much do I want to do a final race? Should we just sort of hang it up? It's been a good run, a good-ish run. It's been a great run for Luke. But let's be honest, my run's been up and down. So I think I really wanted to have that one last final race, but I need to, at this point, balance I'm happy to do the training, but in order to do the training in our life right now, I have to sacrifice a lot of other things that make our family and our business run. Mm-hmm. So whether or not it be time with the kids or time I should and could be spending on our businesses, that's what I really have to balance out. And is it worth it, you know, to our family and to the business for me to take on that last selfish endeavor? And I really want to, but I don't know if that's the right decision. So I'm trying to grapple with that. I think that there's some September races in Australia that might happen. So I could do a full distance here. Maybe, but I don't know. And now they're talking about Ironman Kona being in February.
Yes.
So I'm like, oh, well, if I qualified for that in September, then training over the Australian summer wouldn't be too bad. And surely there'd be tons of people that want to come to Australia at that time of year because it's American winter.
Yes, exactly.
Or Northern Hemisphere winter.
Same with
so I'm like,
Europe
I would have heaps of training partners. I don't know. Sorry, I'm going on and on about it, but it's been this like constant in my head, and I just can't figure out what I want to do.
I think that's the hardest thing for all the athletes at the moment, for human beings in general, is I think if they were able to say, okay, nothing's going to go as normal until November 20, let's say. But the problem is we don't know if it's just going to be abnormal for this year, halfway through next year. So then you could plan, couldn't you? You could say, okay, well, I've been told there's no international travel until 2021, but as soon as 2021 comes, I can travel. But we don't even know if that's the case. So I think that's what's causing so much angst in so many people, is that we just don't know when this damn thing is going to end.
I know. And like, if this is another thing, I didn't even tell Luke this yet too, but one of the reasons I'm potentially going to keep going is because what if all of a sudden in September and October they start having races all around the world and we can just go on like a race spree?
That's I understand.
You know, and then you really be ready to hang it up. Because there might be a race every other weekend.
Yep.
And I'm thinking, oh, well, we missed out on all this travel earlier in this year, and surely the grandparents would watch the kids for a few weekends
while we go and race around the world.
But yeah, I don't know. I haven't run that by Luke yet, so.
But we'll also see. I think, guys, with any athlete, I know when I was considering retirement, I could never just pick one race and say, that's it. You know, you guys lived through my retirement and went for quite some time.
We loved your retirement. That was a great party. Those were great parties.
Exactly. That's what it was all about. But the one thing I remember, and the reason that I was so content in the end to retire, is because I did it on my terms. So I totally understand where you're coming from now. This is not on your terms, and it's not freaking fair. Mm. So I 100% agree with you, and that's why I just wish that we knew exactly. But I do think that we will have domestic races, so I do think there will be an opportunity for you and also with Luke if he wants to do some racing of some description in Australia. I just don't know when exactly it's going to be, but I think it will happen this year.
But I know a lot of people are dealing with it. Like, I know a lot of women right now who were thinking of starting a family next year, and now they're like, wait a second, what am I going to do? You know, they had 2020 planned out in the thoughts that, okay, 2021, I'm going to start a family, I'm going to do this. You know, people that were planning on the Olympics this year or finishing some Ironman. So, you know, I know I'm not the only one with the
decisions.
How are you feeling about retirement?
Yeah, I know, Luke, just because obviously I live less than 2 kilometres from you, that you've been just diving into work. You guys run a highly successful company, a very new company, but I must admit it's gone gangbusters. Win Republic and Marlo. You just bought yourself a new warehouse out at Noosaville before this all went down, and I remember thinking, oh, my gosh, the timing. Mm-hmm. But you've actually... But you've taken it all in your stride, and you've done, for two people that are really quite new to business, this particular side of the business, you've done exceptionally well, and you look like you're going to come out the other side okay. And so you've really been putting your heart and soul into it since this has all gone down, and not so much into the training.
I think if anything, this whole situation has made us really dig our heels in with the business and really try and move the business forward to a stage where it is now our full-time job. And, you know, I think a lot of the things that we've learned and through our triathlon careers, we're applying to business now. You know, the daily routine of, you know, attending work and having the warehouse has actually really defined that for us, I think. Like, actually like the process of getting in my car and driving the 10 minutes out to our office. And, you know, we have employees and people that we, that, you know, that rely on us as well. So it, I feel like that if anything, there hasn't been much of a shift in, you know, I mean, obviously I'm not training as much these days, but I feel like the mentality is still there. It's just directed in a different direction and it's into our business.
Yeah.
And I still love waking up and doing some form of exercise, and whether it's a bike or a run. But you know, that's between 6:30 and 8:30 each morning, and then I get ready to go to work, and I'm really enjoying that.
And, which is pretty much like an age group athlete now.
Yeah.
You know, so you get up, you do your session early, and then you go to work.
Yeah, and you know, we can call it a day at 3:30, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and still have another, you know, hour or two to train in the evening as well. But you know, obviously having two young girls and they're full of energy. I feel like we really love that time in the afternoons and evenings just to do things with them as well. So I think the day is well structured right now with waking up, doing some training, going to work, and then having the evenings with the girls.
And obviously having the warehouse now, because before that you were running your business pretty much out of your home here you live at Sunshine Beach in Noosa, downstairs. So did you find that difficult? You know, obviously you were training at home often, if you were trained at, you know, your beautiful pain cave that I know you've just recently done a very good job on. I was very impressed. I saw it the other night.
Isolation did that.
Oh, I love it. But then having to, then work from home as well, it can be tough. So I think, has it made it better now, having the warehouse?
There's good and bad things about working out of home. Obviously, the convenience of being there and, you know, when we were racing and training as a full-time profession and trying to run a business, it was convenient. Yeah. But, you know, we've got more space out at the warehouse. I feel like things have gone to another level in terms of productivity and just the way that we can operate. It seems a lot more legitimate than something that's in the bottom of your house. And, you know, the amount of times that people would come over to our actual house to try on, try on kit, and you know,
imagine.
Now they've actually got a location to come, and we're able to meet them in a bit more of
a professional
location. So it's just fun too, you know. I feel like I say this to a lot of people. It's like starting your triathlon career over again. You've got that blank canvas, and you get to, you know, start from scratch and build on something that, you know, I think that. In the beginning, you're feeling your way, and now we're at a stage with the Wynn and Marlow businesses where, you know, it's really starting to take another step.
Yeah.
And you know, it's like going from the amateur ranks to the professional ranks. And I guess that's the analogy that I've been using recently, and now we're sort of starting to graduate a bit more to the professional ranks, and we've got to treat it a bit more professionally like that. Not that we weren't. I mean, we've always been putting the heart and soul into the business side of things, but I think that it feels a lot more legitimized each and every time we make these steps.
Yeah. And you still, the majority of the business is here in Australia, but obviously it's also in the States as well, so you do have employees working there as well. Is that tough? I mean, knowing that you don't know when you can get over there again.
Yeah, right now that's the hardest part of the business. We actually, more of our business is in America. It's just a bigger market. You'll go to a race in Australia and you'll see more Wynn Republic because it seems like it's everywhere at a triathlon race.
Like when you and I went for a run the other morning and I couldn't believe how much. We went for a run for less than an hour and we must have seen it 3 or 4 times. It was ridiculous. Yeah. But anyway,
So you see it more in Australia, but I think that's because it's a smaller population. Mm-hmm. And in America, it's actually a bigger, we have more customers in America, but you don't see it quite as much. It's not such a known thing, I think, yet in America, but it's coming. But we really do need to nurture that side of the business. So we try to plan at least 2 or 3 to 4, including Hawaii, trips to America every year to make sure that we're staying on top of it and just nurturing that side of the business. So that's going to be
expos as well. So obviously, well, this year with an expo,
we've seen huge growth in Australia just from going to the expos. And Luke and I are there ourselves in person, talking to everyone, setting up, tearing down. Well, that's mostly him. I sort of try to get out of that. But we do it, and we've seen a lot of growth from that personal connection that we get here, and we wanted to do a lot more of that in America this year. So we plan on going to Ironman Texas and Oceanside and that potentially a couple others. But since those aren't happening, we're just trying to sort of reassess. But we're super lucky. We have a girl who runs the operations over there named Katie, who's been, I actually coached her as an athlete almost 10 years ago.
Right.
Yeah, when she moved to San Diego, I coached her for 2 or 3 years and we became friends. And over the course of everything, she's really taken over that business. She's done an awesome job. We're so lucky to have her, but at the same time, we just want to be over there a little bit more. So that's hard, but
of course,
she's doing good. So,
and so with the kids, going back, you've got two gorgeous young girls, obviously had to come out of school.
Who love you. By the way, we were coming over here tonight and I said, we're going to Belinda's tonight. And they're like, what? We want to come. And I was like, sorry, you can't come tonight.
I must admit, I did have a very good time with both girls last Friday, particularly playing that memory game, which I lost 3 times.
You won't beat Winnie at memory.
No, cannot beat Win. And I thought when Justin was going to had a go, I thought he'd beat her, but no, Win beat Justin too. So she's officially beaten both Grangers at that game.
Yeah.
Gonna have to up my game, I think. How's it been? Because obviously having two young, energetic girls, not being able to go to school. Obviously, Win's in school. Marlo's in what do you call it?
Childcare
prep. For a while, they're obviously all children out of school. Wynn's now gone back to school, so at least there's some structure there. Oh, not Wynn, sorry. Marlo's gone back to childcare, but Wynn's not back in school yet.
No, she went back,
last week. So has that made a big difference?
Yes.
Because, I mean, having them home, my God.
Huge. And we're not really cut out from homeschool.
No, I don't think anyone.
Newfound respect for teachers, seriously. Yeah.
I used to work in a school as a school psychologist, but that was my primary job. So I was there to do that. And teaching your own kids is a whole different thing completely. Ultimate respect for teachers. But we really struggled having Wynn home and Marlo home. And we had a lot of help too. And we know a lot of families that don't have any help. So we know how lucky we are. And at the same time, we're super excited that she's back in school again.
Yeah, we're lucky that she just really enjoys school and she really missed it. Like she every day, can I go back to school? Can I go back to school?
She loves having that structure. And here, it was even harder to have that structure because, you know, there were several weeks when we couldn't go to play. I mean, we still can't go to the playground, couldn't even go to the beach, couldn't do anything. So it's just a matter of like making up stuff to do all day long.
Every day.
Which is really hard when you have a 2-year-old and a nearly 6-year-old because they like different things. And it's really hard to manage. So we're very excited that things are getting a little more back to normal around here.
And you know, it's funny. I was actually talking, messaging back and forth last night with Cam Brown because we know New Zealand took a little different approach to Australia and they went down into we call it lockdown here, but let's be honest, it wasn't
proper lockdown.
They went down into proper lockdown and it was pretty tough. And I know, you know, Cam's got his two boys Terenzo Bazzani has got his two young kids who they're a little younger than yours, I know he's
similar age.
I know he struggled too. And I think they've just come out of that. So they're finally allowed outside. But talking to Cam, it was the greatest moment of relief, not just for his kids, but for him. You know, he's a guy that loves to train outdoors, goes out for 5 and 6 hours at a time. And I could just tell from his messaging that he was so relieved, but still he just wants things back to normal. And I really feel for guys like Cam, similar boat to you. Not that I'm saying he was going to retire anytime soon, but he's in the latter part of his career. And
he's more likely to go on longer than us, let's be honest.
But, you know, it's like a whole year that he's lost, and I just thought about it, and it must be so tough. And someone like Terenzo, who had that horrific injury, just came back, then got an injury again,
and I know.
I can't even think how it must have been like for them. And he was saying the only hope they've got now is if we can have some sort of Trans-Tasman racing, et cetera, so, you know, we can have
possible.
Yeah.
Not that I really want Teresa Adams and Hannah Wells coming up here racing, but it's probably going to happen.
And Terenzo.
And Terenzo and Brownie. So, but I think that's pretty likely. So it could be cool, like a little Asia-Pacific sort of champ
bubble
at the end of the year. Yeah, a little bubble.
And that, you know, we were talking, and I think that's going to probably be the most likely thing moving forward is that we have, like you said, a little – Trans-Tasman rivalry or Asia-Pacific rivalry here. Then you can have the Europeans have their little rivalry. And then, of course, North America as well. So it could actually work.
My personal goal can be top American at the Trans-Tasman championships slash only American.
Only American. I'm trying to think, are there any other American pros?
I've got it in the bag.
I think you're the only, I do know that there's, that Els Visa is here from the Netherlands.
She's not
so
American.
She could be the only Euro, she could take out the Euro
the
title.
The Euro title.
You could take out the
Tasman championship.
It's pretty good. We could work something else.
I know, right?
Yeah, well, hopefully we do have Challenge Shepparton in October. It's still planned to go ahead, and so I'm hoping by then that we can get some Kiwis over. We could have a right old battle down
definitely
there.
Definitely. Count me in my race bender.
I like it. Could work well. But Noosa, so is this home now? Obviously, Luke, you are from Australia. You're not from Noosa, but you are from Australia. Beth, you're from the US. Is Noosa now home? How long have you guys been
I'll
here now?
I'll let Luke answer it.
Yeah, let's... Look, firstly, tell our listeners, where are you from originally?
I got to pour Belinda a little more wine. So the questions get a little bit more loose.
That's right, as they get to be.
So I was born in Taree, New South Wales, which is, about 4 hours north of Sydney.
Yep.
Grew up there till I was about 13. I was first around triathlon by going out to the Foster Ironman back in the late 80s, early 90s. So ever since I was 8, 9 years old, I'd been around and seen triathlon, so I knew of it quite well. And, you know, back then I was into swimming and team sports. And I think about when I was 13, Dad got a job up on the Gold Coast at Palm Beach Crumman High School as a science teacher, but also a football coach at PBC.
Okay.
And so we moved up there, and that sort of just opened up a whole new world for my sister and I in sport. You know, prior to that, we were going to Sydney a lot for sport, which was...
It's a fair drive.
Every single weekend, my dad, mum and dad would drive us 4 hours on a Friday night to Sydney.
That's crazy.
We'd spend Friday, Saturday night at either my grandparents' or my auntie's house, and we'd go to a swimming carnival or a water polo tournament or whatever sport we were doing
at that particular time.
And then Sunday afternoon, Sunday night, we'd drive home and everyone would be back to school or back to swimming training or whatever it was on Monday morning. And not to mention that we'd be driving out to Foster every morning for swim training, because that's obviously
the
best and closest swim squad. So that was a 30-minute round trip. You know, so yeah, it
is
was just
Noosa being home.
Anyway, so I'm getting towards that. And so I moved up to the Gold Coast, did all my schooling years there, and was in quite a few elite triathlon programs there. From starting out with Jenny Alcorn, moved into Bill Davern's squad, Cole Stewart's squad. You know, I was around.
So when you were doing short course,
So I was doing a lot of short course stuff. But in 2006, I'd qualified for the Hawaii Ironman for the first time, and a good friend of mine from Switzerland, Matthias Hecht, was out here training with his coach at the time, Scott Penny.
He
said, "Come up from the Gold Coast. We'll train together for Kona here in Noosa." So I came up.
So he's the reason you came up here.
Yep.
Well done, Matthias.
So I came up, trained with Matthias. We did about a 3-week block. We stayed out at Coolum at the time, but we trained in Noosa a lot. And went back to the Gold Coast. And he said, "Well, now I'm going up to Port Douglas to do the last few weeks of my prep. Come up there." And so followed him up there. We did a bit more training. We both went to Kona for the first time together. And then after that trip, I came home and I was like, well, I sort of enjoyed training in Noosa. I really would like to go back there. So ever since then, I've called Noosa home. So, nearly going on 15 years. I think it's 14 odd years I've been living in Noosa now. Yeah. And I obviously knew you prior to then from racing around the world. I think the first trip I remember meeting you on was... I think is when we went to the Sanya race in which is ironic because
right,
we got stuck in Hong Kong this year together.
We've been stuck in Hong Kong several times now.
Almost 20 years later, we got stuck in Hong Kong together. Again. After we first met. So
wow.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure we knew each other prior to that.
Senya
is in China. So it was on the island of Hainan.
Region of Hainan.
So, and I've called Noosa home ever since. But, you know, my Australian home.
Yes.
And then in 2013, I'd been going over to America every year since around that time, 06, and actually 03. So I'd going to California, and in 2013, I decided that, you know, I wanted to live there full time for a while. And that's when I met Beth in California. But, you know, in between our trips in California, we'd come back to Noosa, and I kept bringing Beth back every time. And, eventually we bought a place here in 2015. And
not planning on living there at all.
No, it was more an investment.
More like an investment,
of course.
Yeah.
And to rent out. And we thought, oh, when we come to Noosa 1 month a year,
we'll
live in this house. And the rest of the time, maybe we'll rent it out or whatever. But that literally never happened.
Yeah. I mean, kids happened. I think the thing is, we find it a little tough in California. We don't have the help of grandparents there.
Of course, because your parents live here, of course, on the Sunshine Coast.
And childcare. And so I think, you know, having mum and dad close, it just was a little bit more convenient at those younger years of the girl's childhood. And I don't know. And Beth really meshed really well with people like yourself and created a really good bunch of friends, here in Australia as well. So she dearly misses her friends in California, which I'm sure she'll tell you about, but she does have a really great group of friends here
too. Yeah, she does. But Beth, you're not originally from California, are you? That's not where you...
No, I grew up in Philadelphia on the East Coast, and then after university, I moved to California, and I was there for like 10, 15 years before we...
So you spent a good chunk of time in California.
Yeah. A lot. I definitely think... When I think of the U.S., I think of myself as a California girl, not so much an East Coast girl, even though I grew up on the East Coast. But
and where are your parents based in?
They're still in Philadelphia.
Okay.
And all my family is pretty much on the East Coast, like Philadelphia, New York City, and Chicago. So whenever we're back there, we make the trip over. And my family's super mobile. They come over to Australia a lot. So it's not, you know, right now... It's different now.
You can't do anything.
You're realizing that we live in such a global world, and we've taken globalization for granted.
I agree.
And now we're potentially living in a much more nationalized world, and like your national government is much more important than it ever was before. And you have to, you know, we used to traipse around the world and think, oh, we'll go to Spain for a few months and then here for a few months or whatever. And you don't think, oh, what's their government like? How will they handle these kind of policies? How will they handle public health? And like now those are questions that you legitimately need.
You look at and ask and want to know.
So I don't know. It's different. Now I'm thinking, I don't want to be really far away from my family. But at the same time, Luke doesn't want to be far away from his family. And my girls call Australia home. And for me, it's home now. I mean, I love it. This is the best place to be to train, but also one of the best places in the world to raise kids, I think.
Yeah.
So it's a tough thing, but I think we're
all
happier.
I think prior to now, I think we did take for granted that, you know, your parents were quite easily, they were able to travel quite easily and, we would meet in the middle a lot and, you know, whether if we came to California, they'd fly out and, you know, to be honest, we saw Beth's parents and family as much living here because of the places we'd go around the world where we could meet up.
Exactly.
And now it's all been... obviously taken away from us that we've realized that, we're in a situation now.
And so it will be very interesting to see, even when all this is over and done with and we go back to some sort of normality, whether it is going to be as easy, whether it's going to be as easy for us to just, as you said, to book a ticket and let's meet in Spain or book a ticket and let's meet in Kona. We just don't know. So it will be interesting moving forward. I hope so.
You can hope that it will be. And, you know, it very well might be in a year or two. It just might take a little time. And then if it's not, we'll reevaluate then. But I try not to worry about that. We see our family a lot on FaceTime. Everything's great. So we're good and we're happy here in Noosa.
Now, one question I did want to ask, Luke, is I've been told by little birdie, you are swimming and running, but... You are running and cycling.
I was going to say, what swim have I done?
Swimming?
Oh, it's really fallen off. I think I was just... I was just texting with Tim Burkle right before I came here, and I told him that I don't think I've swam since March 16th. So if there's any kind of race comeback planned, I really got to up my swimming. I'm definitely going to have to go back to swim at JR.
Yeah,
hope that I pick a race that gets the swim canceled.
Yeah,
but it was the first thing to go. And like I said, I think, you know, I found that, you know, I enjoy training in the morning before I go to work, and I just find that that thing is either running or riding my bike. Yeah. And, you know, it just hasn't, with the pools being closed, you know, I just can't bring myself to get down the beach every single morning for a swim. Right. So
I get it.
I guarantee if you came with us one day, though, you'd be like, that was great. I'm coming next time.
I know. But, yeah, no, I just I'm enjoying my fitness routine.
Fitness routine, as
I call it. I don't call it my training routine.
My exercise.
But it's the swimming has definitely dropped off, and you know, if I do have any ideas of racing later in the year, I'm definitely gonna have to get back into the pool or back into swimming very, very, very soon. But the good news is we ran into Carl. That runs the pool here in Noosa.
Apparently his name's not Carl.
James.
Oh, okay. Sorry, Carl.
Well, it's someone who works at our Noosa Aquatic Centre, which is like the heartbeat of Noosa when it comes to triathlon.
Yeah, that guy. we ran into him, and apparently they've been told that we'll be back in the pool pretty soon.
That's
so
unreal.
Yeah, maybe the togs will come out. We'll see.
See what happens. But he's saying that. Have been doing a bit of the virtual racing, like on Zwift, a little bit.
No, well, that's a contentious issue too.
It's just funny because we sort of bet. What do you call it? Like knock heads about it every day or something.
I'm convinced that everyone's cheating on them. Virtual racing, and
everybody's cheating.
I'm getting dropped in races. I'm getting dropped in B grade.
Oh, I love it.
I don't know.
I must admit, I mean, I don't do the virtual racing myself. But
I know would love it.
It's fun. It is fun.
I think no way.
And you know, obviously you have to put your weight in.
Yeah.
All that sort of thing. And I know I had this conversation with Laura Siddle, one of our Challenge Family ambassadors. You know Laura quite well, pro athlete. And she's just like you, Luke. Laura's completely honest. So whatever her weight is, whatever she steps on, and that's what it is, that's what she puts it on in the computer.
Yeah.
And she knows for a fact that there are obviously athletes that are just
cheating.
Holding onto the table as they get on the scales, or there's some sort of underhanded business going on, and she just doesn't understand why. And I must admit, it does baffle me because it is virtual racing, and at the end of the day, there's no prize money on the line. It's a bit crazy.
But it can keep you motivated because I've always – so my, like, race weight, if I'm going to race an Ironman, I'm always, like, pretty much right at 50 kilos. And then if I'm not at race weight, I'm at, like, 51. And I've always been that for the past 4 or 5 years. And this past – and so my Zwift weight is 51. Anybody can go and check it, 51. But then this past week I got on the scale and I was like 52.6. And I was like, oh my God, Luke. I said, I need to go on it. This is why I said I'm not going to Ricky's. Ricky's is this bakery that right near us. I said, I can't go to Ricky's this week because I need to get back to my honest.
I'm going to lose that KG. You
know? Oh, I'm going to have to change
it. If anybody could call me up, I want to be able to step on that scale right at that minute and say, look, I'm 51 kilos. I was like, but right now I am 52. So I have not entered any races, by the way, people, until I get back under that 52, but...
That's hilarious.
Well, not until I get back under that 52. I don't really do Zwift races. I'm not cut out for it. But I do a lot of the
challenges.
A lot of challenges, and they're really hard. To be honest, I'm racing them, but you're not supposed to race them, but I'm still not winning, so it's okay.
That's okay. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But that's interesting you say. I think a lot of people with this virtual racing, when it comes to putting in stats,
they embellish
of what they were before lockdown or before ISO.
Yeah.
And of course.
Yeah, the pre-ISO.
The pre-ISO. And I think during ISO, let's be honest, we've all put on a few kgs here and there from the cheeses. And I'm eating that much more cheese and wine than what
we're sitting here with three blocks of cheese in front of us, and I just ate one of them. So
I get it.
Now I'm at 52.8.
I can't believe we haven't even opened the second bottle of wine yet.
We're doing very well because we're taking this interview quite seriously.
Yes, we are.
But I won't keep you much longer, obviously, because I'm sure you guys are starving and wanting some dinner. But the virtual racing definitely has as a place, and I think it's helped a lot of athletes. I was talking to Sarah Crowley the other day, and of course she's up here in Noosa training, and we were talking about whether it's really important to be on a very structured, regimented training routine right now. And she's like, absolutely not. And I know her coach has got her on a routine, but it's quite a casual routine. Like, she's definitely training every day and she's getting some good sessions in, but there's no redlining it. There's no trying to hit certain expectations and certain numbers. It's more just a maintenance, making sure that that she's fit and ready, so that when they finally announce down the track, and let's be honest, we're going to know a good 8 to 12 weeks in advance.
Yeah, then you're fit enough. Yeah,
exactly. Then it's
enough to start training.
And is that how you are trying to keep things right now?
Totally. And it's funny because we've seen over the past few weeks a lot of people. As I said to Luke, I turned to Luke. I said, so many people are being extra this weekend. Like,
let's go extra. Everest.
You know, that's what like the young kids say, right? Like, oh, she is so extra. But like, we had like so many people from Team Wynn doing like Everesting, and then people running 42 and 42.
Even people that did full Ironmans like Jan did.
People,
you know,
doing
like, yeah,
back-to-back Ironmans, all this stuff. And I'm like, oh gosh, everyone's so extra. But at the same time, like, that's what's keeping them motivated. Yeah. So it's cool. Like, I totally support it. And I also know that 6 or 7 years ago, that extra person
would have been
totally
you.
Me. It was 100% me. I would have been doing it all. But right now, like, my life's different in that now I have kids and a business and whatever. And in order for me to do that, it would have to take away from a lot of other things. So if I'm thinking purely about like a race in the future, I know that if I prepare my ultimate best 10 to 12 weeks for that race, all I need to do is be prepared for that 12 weeks out. I don't need to be doing the workouts for that 12 weeks out. I need to be prepared. So reasonably
fit
to start doing those workouts 12 weeks out.
Yeah.
So until then, it's all about maintenance mode, baby.
Perfect. And you're in the same boat, bar the swim. But at the end of the day, you're a little different to Beth and myself in that you are a swimmer. You come from a swimming background, so it really doesn't take you.
Easily my weakest.
It doesn't take you that long to get it back. Whereas if someone like Beth and I took too long out of the water, there's no coming back from that.
I know.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. No, I'm still undecided what direction I'm going to go once things resume, but I'll see what Beth signs herself up for and whether it really tickles my fancy.
Whether you go
I was so set on Roth this year, and it was just, to be honest, I was pretty ready to transition to retirement, you know, into
after
another
race. Yeah.
Yeah, and once it was cancelled, it was just, I don't know, I just couldn't get my head around going a whole nother year. And as much as I loved competing at that race, and I would love to do it with Beth in 2021, I'm just not sure I'd go another whole year. Maybe I will. I don't know. But
But that's the beauty. You don't have to make the decision now, and you can see at the time.
Exactly.
I think that's why people like Cam Brown and Craig Alexander Crowe have never actually, and whether they ever will officially, even Macca, whether they're ever going to officially announce retirement, because at the end of the day, you don't have to.
No.
You don't have to.
Exactly.
So that's what I think I love about our sport.
Yeah.
And it's good. As long as
I'll just leave it there.
Yeah. Leave it there. And
there might be another race.
Watch this space.
Yeah.
But either way, you'll be coming to the races either as a chaperone.
Yeah.
As a Sherpa, I should say, for Beth. Or,
I could be a great training partner if she decides to go on this bender. That's for sure.
I need a babysitter.
All right, you guys can decide that when you go back home.
I'm not kidding you. Beth forwarded me this thing the other day. It was this electric bike that had like all these seats on it. It was like a family electric bike.
Oh,
and she's like,
we need
one of these. And I'm like, what do we need one of these for? And
bring the two girls along while she does the training sessions. I love
exactly.
it.
Exactly, yeah.
Not such a bad, you're a smart girl. Not such a bad idea.
Yeah.
But. The other day we were running and I said to Luke, I'm thinking I might do, you know, Ironman Port Macquarie or Ironman Cairns if they happen in September. And he's like, well, we're going to need to get a good au pair then. And I'm like,
oh, okay, great. Well, listen, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. Thank you very, very much.
Wow. Only 45 minutes. We did well.
We've done well. I said I was going to
must be hungry.
I said I was going to try and keep this to a 45-minute special, just so you're not eating dinner at 9 o'clock tonight.
Yeah.
Or Euro style, as we would say.
We don't do Euro style. We don't do Euro style.
No, Noosa normally dinners at 5:30. But it's been an absolute pleasure. We will have to definitely get you back on later down the track when we know what the racing situation is going to be, because I want to hear what the decision. I need to know what the decision is going to be.
And you need to keep us posted on all the challenge races that are coming back, because we will. We're dying to do
that. We will, for sure. And that's a given. But I'll be very interested to see whether it's both back racing or just the one, or maybe the none. But it'll be great.
He thinks he's done, but he's got a lot of. I can tell every time I mention he's got a bit of FOMO.
So oh, I can.
We'll see if he can handle the FOMO.
Hey, let's be honest. Luke is just. That's why I always say Luke is the brother I never had, because the two of us can't stand the FOMO. It's something that I've never been able to handle.
It's funny you should say that, because I was texting with Tim Burkle this afternoon. He's like, "Well, I might just do Port Macquarie and Cairns like back to back," and I was like. Well, if you can do that, well, I can do that too.
Why not?
Hey,
and it's a retirement race. You don't need to show up like all guns blazing trying to qualify for Kona. No. You can enjoy the race.
Do what you need to do. That's
especially
right.
Cairns, like a race you've won twice. Yeah. You could go around and just like enjoy the thing. Look at me.
I know. So if you need any information on how to do that at the races, just ask me. I've done it many times.
Retiring next week. Next week.
Yeah. Well, it's been a pleasure. Thank you very much. And until next time. Thanks guys.
Fiji.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Coffee Calls with Belinda. I really hope you enjoyed listening. If you'd like to continue listening and stay updated on our latest podcasts, then please subscribe. It would also be great if you could rate our podcast and leave us a review. If you have any specific questions you'd like me to ask the athletes, then please send through to the following email address, podcast@challenge-family.com. The making of these podcasts would not be possible without the wonderful help of our great partners, Powerbar, Otso, Zone 3, Lubos Bilic at LB Training, Sport No Limit Group, and VeloSoc. But for now, thanks so much for listening, and I'll be back soon for another coffee.